What's the Tea? Brought to you by B-Trans Support and Community with Pride Radio.
Proudly supported by Pride Action North.
Hey everyone, it's Rose,
Josie,
and Dan from B-Trans Support and Community, the peer support service run by trans people for trans people right here in Newcastle. And this is What's the Tea? Today, we're going to cover Trans 101 topics.
Yeah, so I put this on the list because as someone who's been out for quite a while, I've watched a lot of specifically online trans spaces, but I have seen this in person as well, is the resources that we maybe used to have. So I, for a little bit of context, I came out in around like 2016, 2015 kind of time, where a lot of like just tutorials on how to do things and where to get things from and what you're supposed to do were going around, but they're not going around anymore because everyone's just kind of assumed like, oh, well, everyone knows how now.
But right.
They don't.
No.
Because they weren't out when they were going around. Like, I've met people who, they don't know what a binder is and they've been out for like a year.
Yeah, there
really?
Are
yeah.
There are levels of it that is a little bit insane to come across, and it's something you definitely do see in online spaces quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just several posts I'll come across in a week, just casually by accident, that's like, how do I get a referral to a GIC? And that's, for the most part, literally step one.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, starting your trans journey, kind of getting on the wait list for a lot of people is where you would start. So to see those kinds of comments and things made in the community is like really shocking, honestly, that that kind of stuff isn't being spread around anymore. And as you say, I think it's a lot because like time passes and these things change. But I think largely in a lot of online spaces, people forget these things exist because they talk about the more current and relevant things, and especially at the moment it's quite scary, so I think that can get buried very easily, you know, all of the fear that people have.
Well, yeah, like as soon as you mention a gender identity clinic, people are talking about the wait lists. No one's talking about how to get on one though.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I've had a friend recently come out and they don't know where to, they didn't know
literally
where to get anything
because
there's nothing out there for them. So I thought if we did a little episode on it, then it'd be, you know, good to go. One that I feel quite passionately about is how to bind safely. I'm seeing a lot of the trends that I used to see when I was online as a, not small child, but like, you know, when I first came out, where people were buying cheap binders from places like Amazon, AliExpress and Wish. And,
yeah.
You know, there's probably kids out there buying them on Temu now.
Oh, no.
More than likely.
Yeah, more than likely. That seemed TikTok shop, maybe. I don't know. But the kind of lowdown is, you know, you can only wear it for a certain amount of time. You have to buy it from a reputable shop.
Yeah.
They unfortunately do cost a lot of money, but the ones on Amazon and Wish in places like that, they aren't official shops and you can't get them from there because they will warp your ribs.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure that they're sizing correctly. A reputable shop will have a size guide and how to, you know, measure yourself using the size guide, and they will give advice on what to do if your measurements are in different sizes and things like that. So for, obviously we're based in the UK, I would say personally, I always use Spectrum Outfitters.
I believe my brother as well, who's trans mask, uses those.
Yeah, I'd say that a lot of the people in the UK either use Spectrum or Underworks, but Underworks are a bit more complicated because they're technically not binders, they're compression shirts, but you can still use them safely.
Gotcha. Yeah. One of those things, yeah.
Yeah, like you could still use them very safely, but it's, again, it's just a, you know, you have to kind of make sure that you're taking breaks regularly, you're not doing it every day.
Not sleeping in it.
Sleeping, yes. People never quite seem to understand that one. Showering in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
People really do start to disregard these negatives when, you know, you get so much like affirmation from you know, the result of it. And of course, for a trans guy, like, a binder is a massive thing. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely see how you might become attached to it.
Yeah, fair.
But it's really important to look after your own body.
Well, yeah, like, so, like, sleeping in it specifically, a lot of people don't really seem to understand is that your breathing pattern changes when you sleep. So it slows right down, which means that the compression of a binder becomes a lot more intense because your lungs aren't there expanding your ribs to kind of stop it. And eventually your ribs can break if you do that and things like that. And then wearing a binder correctly as well, a lot of people just put it on and they're just like, yeah, this is fine. But you do have to kind of adjust yourself within it to make it not only more effective, but safer to wear in terms of, like, you have to make sure that, am I allowed to say the word nipple?
I mean, that's anatomy, I think.
You need to make sure that they're pointing forward rather than, like, down, which would happen want, like, as you put it on naturally. You have to kind of adjust yourself within there to make sure that your skin elasticity stays and isn't ruined over the years, because that can affect, or at least it used to be able to, for some surgeons it affects the results of top surgery later down the line and things like that. But yeah, and just like not wearing it for more than, I think they say 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say, from personal experience, when you take it off, do a lot of stretches.
Yeah.
And breathe.
I mean, at the end, it's literally compressing.
Yeah.
It's literally hugging you. Just
try and
solid.
Fill your lungs as much as you can with as much air after you've took it off a couple times, just to stretch everything out and just kind of, you know.
Yeah, your body's a temple and all that, you know?
Yeah.
For the most part. You got to kind of look after it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, like, although it might not feel like a big deal now, like, when you're, like, 50 or, like, 60.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you were mentioning as well that people don't really seem to know how to refer to a GIC. And I did write that down as one of the points, if you want to...
It's very multifaceted. Mm-hmm. A lot of people these days, I think... Probably the biggest problem is people not realizing that they are entitled to go to a GP and have this conversation, and the GP has to refer them to an NHS gender identity clinic. I think for a lot of people, it's a massive, massive thing, obviously, of, oh my God, I'm like starting this journey. I need to go speak to somebody, and I'm, you know, just this little egg. I'm like all pre-transition, and it's like super embarrassing. I'm really vulnerable in this position. They have to help you.
Mm.
Unfortunately, that wasn't always the case. And doctors were just allowed to...
Just turn you away
yeah. at their discretion, whether or not they wanted to refer you. That is no longer the case. Doctors have to refer you. However, you do still sometimes, unfortunately, see instances of people reporting that they asked for a follow-up and, you know, proof of being referred, for whatever reason, whether it's, oh, I forgot or it got lost, you know, the patient isn't referred, which that's, you know, less common but incredibly scary. So generally within the process of, you know, after you get your GP appointment, you tell them, hey, I think I'm questioning my gender, mate. Well, they'll know what to do from that. They know who to send you to. It's just a point from there of maintaining with the doctor and like keeping up with communication, being like, can I get a copy of that maybe for your own peace of mind? But when you're on that list, that's you on that list.
Yeah.
As long as you then continue to update your address with your GP, if you ever move house, then any communications from any gender identity clinic will come to your new address. So
you need to tell the gender identity clinic separately.
The Do Now.
Yeah, I've always had to ring them.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, you can just ring them though and just say I've changed my, I want to update my details.
Okay, fair enough. That's interesting. I'll have to give my doctor a pat on the back then because he offered to do that for me.
Oh, sick.
So that was nice.
Must have a really good one.
Yeah, definitely then make the effort to contact the gender identity clinic yourself, 100%.
Yeah, just ring reception. The number will be on their website.
Yeah. Funnily enough, the GP surgery that I go to, I'm staunchly against helping trans people at all.
Oh.
But the actual fella that I see myself is quite nice. Mm. So that's at least, you know, nice to have, and that will be similar in a lot of different GPs across the country for a lot of people. Every single doctor is different, and every single stance and perspective every doctor will have is different. So you're more than welcome to ask for a second opinion. If you're talking to your doctor about any sort of additional medications that you might want, such as, say, finasteride, or any like birth control medication, they can still technically decline you, even if you're perfectly entitled to have that medication. So remember that you're perfectly entitled to have a second opinion.
Usually when you ask for a second opinion anyway, they're a bit like, okay, maybe.
It's not always gone the smoothest in my experience, but it's unfortunately just something that you do actually have to do. And, you know, asking for a second opinion, it's in my head, it's like, you know, oh, I've got this big diagnosis of something terrible and, you know, I don't want the news to be true. Let me get a second opinion. But in this instance, it's just, please help me live. So you can only really hope, really, that the people working there are empathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for the most part, they are. Just unfortunately, within the NHS, there are consistent lack of training schemes and funding across a lot of different facets for staff to get that. So it's a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the NHS is so different throughout the entirety of the UK, like English and the Welsh.
You've
and
got so many different trusts everywhere. Yeah.
So the process is a little bit different each time. Like in Scotland, I think it still might be the same as when I did it, was that you didn't have to go through your GP to go get to the GIC. You could just email the GIC and be like, hey,
in England, you can still self-refer. Just download a form from any gender identity clinic. However, it does require consent from a GP.
Oh, really?
So regardless of not, regardless if you've had that conversation with your GP or not, you could choose to fill in that form yourself and go, oh, by the way, can you just sign this for us? And if they're nice,
see, on when I self-referred, I think it just asked me what was my GP surgery, and then that was it. That's all it asked me to do.
Yeah, it's not, the form doesn't look like that.
No.
Unfortunately, yeah, there is that layer of the GP being involved in some form or another.
Yeah.
But they do have a supposed duty of care, and they do have to help. So, yeah, turn up there. Don't take no for an answer, basically.
Mm-hmm. When I went for mine, I felt really bad for the doctor who was doing it because it was her first day at that surgery.
You can very much tell sometimes people are a little bit out of their depth.
Yeah, she literally said right away, she was like, I know what to do. I just don't know how to do it on this system because it's my first day here. So I'm going to go and get someone to help me. And I was like, I am so sorry. I was like her first appointment too because it was like 8 a.m.
Probably a nightmare.
I know. Yeah. I was like, God.
Awful patient.
Truly am. So you were talking to me before kind of we started recording about a website that you'd seen where it was a lot of information and resources compiled.
Yeah, I mean, wrapping back to what we were talking about earlier with, you know, the lack of information, there are places it's available, but largely a lot of people don't seem to know it exists, whether or not that's online or in person, as you say. You know, we attend our charity meetups every week and we hear real stories from real people every week, and it's very much the same.
Yeah.
So a website like genderkit.org.uk, or Gender Construction Kit as it's also known as, is something that's available to basically give you pointers in every single possible direction you could need in regards to being trans. Mm-hmm. It has lists on the website for absolutely every step you need to take to change a name, a title, to change any particular characteristic of your body, whether that's something about your hair or your scent or your skin. Mm-hmm. It will tell you the names of all of the relevant medications that might be involved, any other products that you could purchase that might alter, you know, your perception of yourself, say. Mm-hmm.
So basically a giant transgender encyclopedia.
A massive encyclopedia. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that, actually. I mean, there is also the Gender Dysphoria Bible, mm-hmm. which in and of itself is incredibly useful.
That sounds fantastic.
That website will cover everything under the header of gender dysphoria, all of the different possible kinds of dysphoria, what it means to trans people, how you don't need to feel all different, you know, possible feelings to be trans. And that in particular is something I've used as an exceptional resource to help talk to, say, the older generation.
Right.
Like family members and such. Mm-hmm. People that, you know, generally do just get less sort of exposure and education on a topic like that. A website like the Gender Dysphoria Bible and Gender Kit are absolutely fantastic resources to just point and show somebody physically on your phone, look, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. This is a thing. Take my word for it. Please listen to me. Finally.
Yeah, kind of like using as I'm not just saying it.
Because that's also something that I think a lot of young trans people come across.
Trust me, bro.
Yeah. You know, parents and family members and guardians not understanding that, you know, you're your own individual person that's capable of making your own decisions and you know what's best for you. And that everything that you say isn't just something you're conjuring and inventing. There is actual basis behind it and relevant evidence and such. So, yes, for that reason too, you know, it's a great resource to be able to give to other people. For actual trans people themselves, completely invaluable. Just a well of a fountain of information, you know. And going from zero, that will leave you at like probably 95, you know.
Good, good. Because I remember like the places like that would be shared around when I kind of first came.
I've seen a lot, and there's always a very, very wide range of standard.
Yeah.
Inconsistency and sometimes not correct information, which, you know, is something you do just have to sort of deal with when you're effectively crowdsourcing everything as a community.
Mm-hmm. Especially when a lot of it's all online based as well. Like a lot of the people who are kind of coming out at the moment maybe haven't met many trans people in person yet. Like, mm-hmm. not like maybe they just haven't had the opportunity to do so, especially coming out of COVID.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
You know, like people didn't really know where to look with that kind of thing, but also just like younger people just haven't come across them yet, so like mm-hmm. a lot of their community is found online.
And largely I think say I know, for instance, on say the Transgender UK subreddit, mm-hmm. it does have a wiki and it does have like plenty of signposting there for information, mm-hmm. but one, not everybody uses Reddit.
True.
And two, not everybody on that subreddit knows there's a wiki. So, you know, it's a self-perpetuating problem, really. But I truly believe there's like a massive lack of signposting and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, because like if you think of what website do you go to if you're trans?
Yeah.
Like
our website.
Like, what do you do? On the NHS, like they list a couple of support groups and that's it.
Yeah.
Which is a good start and like fantastic. And that's what, you know, like B is there for. Mm-hmm. But beyond that support and community that we provide, you know, it's difficult to achieve the same thing as what you could potentially achieve with the platform that they do. If the NHS just had this information listed on their website, think about how many people would actually see it. There are so many people that go onto the NRGDS's website and look at the 96-month wait list, and then that's the only thing that they've ever seen, ever, in regards to being trans, and that's all they know. It could just be on that page. So it's very, very upsetting, actually. It's very frustrating, because there's no clear answer for where people should go. So better access to this information is all that we can, you know, strive for.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you wanted to say the name of the website again, and then if, like, on Spotify and stuff, we could link it in the description.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's genderkit.org.uk. There is also another charity called TransActual, which you can Google.
Yes.
And they have a lot of signposting and additional information on their website as well. But for purely the kit for changing everything and getting a start, that's genderkit.org.uk.
Yeah, I think that's the one I used when I came out, to be honest.
Yeah, I was on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I hadn't heard of them before today.
Exactly, there you go.
So I was like, oh my God. Things like that probably weren't like around when I was kind of coming up, though.
I don't know, actually, maybe not. I don't know.
Might have been a bit early then. And the last point I kind of wrote down that I thought, you know, it might kind of bring some good points that I couldn't think of when I was writing kind of the plan for this episode, was like, is there anything that we wish we knew when we were younger?
That trans people existed.
That trans people existed, that it was an option at all that I could do.
Yeah, no. The fact that me being like a 15-year-old being like, ooh, I wonder what it would be like if I was a girl, like every day, was not normal.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just your whole life.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder what it'd be like if I was a girl. Wow, I wonder if everyone feels like this. No. No, they don't.
Turns out it's not normal to feel that way. Wow, that's crazy, isn't it?
That's mental.
That's so surprising.
See, I hadn't really, like, thought about my gender at all until I met another trans guy, and I was like, hold on.
See, I never really met any trans people before I moved down here. To be fair, I did live in the woods, though, so I mean...
Yeah, in a field.
Yeah, so...
With the sheep.
I mean, that's definitely something, like, there's a massive amount of trans people that live in, you know, like, rural areas or just even smaller towns. Mm-hmm. For the most part, you'd be hard-pressed to come across another trans person in your city.
Yeah, just like, statistically.
Yeah, really. Statistically, you'd be hard-pressed to do so. It's, you know, there's fantastic opportunity, and there's, you know, a very queer and diverse culture in a big city, but very simply, that's just not how that works outside of the city. So definitely something I wish I knew when I was younger, living in one of those small towns, is that there are plenty of other people out there just like me, and I'm not alone. You know, like, actually, like, it's very, very, very easy to feel beyond alone and beyond just battered into a corner, but truly, we're all here in this together, you know, we're all experiencing this same life together. So truly, I honestly wish I just knew that there were more people out there like me, that I do have, you know, a future and I can be happy. That is something that I definitely wish I knew from a younger age.
God, that got deep really fast.
Right.
Jeez.
I'll share mine. So, like, as someone who came out, again, in a really small town where everybody knows everybody, I think it would be nice if, when I first came out, I just kind of knew that, like, life would be peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I run away to a town where, like, nobody knows my name.
Right.
And nobody knows what's, like, my past or anything like that. And life is just peaceful and nothing happens ever.
It does, like, constantly. Yeah, there's always something very stressful, very, you know, world ending. For anybody growing up, and I feel it's fair to say it's only amplified when you're dealing with gender. Truly, yeah. I mean, it's very similar to what I was saying. Just, like, you will find peace. You will actually do that. Like, that is a possibility. It's very open, and you deserve it more than anything, you know?
Yeah, and then also I was kind of coming up in the toxic YouTube masculinity of trans masks era. So, you know, it was very much like, there's only one way to be trans, and if you're not being it that way, then you're a trender and you're faking, etc., etc., etc. So it'd be nice to go back and be like, you don't have to do all that. Like, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the kind of... 100%. That's all I have to say on the issue anyway.
No, 100%. Just, I wish there was more information out there. I wish that people, you know, God forbid me say the words, I wish people were taught in school. That's basically what it comes down to. I wish people knew. I wish I knew. I wish I just knew at a young age that it was a thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that for real. So that was us covering Trans 101. If anybody wants any advice, wants to chat, or has any other queries, feel free to follow us on social media at BTransNB, and make sure that you tune into our next episode of What's the Tea, where we'll be talking about some of the recent news.
Remember to follow BTransNB on your socials and reach out to us if you have any queries about the services we offer.
What's the Tea? Proudly supported by Pride Action North. Pride Radio.